All right. There's always been lots of chat about full-day kindergarten and the benefits or lack thereof. It depends who you ask on your opinion or the opinion that you will get. Today, the Ontario Ministry of Education released a study showing amazing, these are quotes, amazing life-changing results from a child's attendance in full-day kindergarten. However, the release does not include the study itself, which will not be made available for scrutiny by the public until late in October 2013. As per the Ontario Ministry of Education. To talk more about this and what it all means is Andrea Mrozek. She is the Executive Director of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada and is with us now. Good afternoon, Andrea. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking the time to join us. First of all, tell everybody what the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada is.
We are a public policy think tank in Ottawa addressing issues pertaining to family, doing research briefs. One of the files that I've long been involved on is the early learning file, so examining outcomes for as the result of early learning programs. And yesterday that involved addressing this press release from the Ontario Ministry of Education with regards to a study that they did not actually release regarding the benefits of full-day kindergarten.
We should also say you're the author of The Cost of a Free Lunch, The Real Cost of the Pascal Early Early Learning Plan for Ontario. So what are your thoughts on this? What are your thoughts on early education?
Well, I mean, the frustration from yesterday came from the fact that the Ministry of Education put out a release and showed some part of the research results, claiming that there are, again, as you said, quote, amazing and life-changing results from a child's attendance in full-day kindergarten, but the study itself was not made available. And so that, to me, is a lack of accountability and transparency. The study itself is, by nature of the fact that Ontario has only had full-day kindergarten for 2 years, it's a short-term study. So in our press release responding to the Ministry of Education, we challenged whether these amazing life-changing results will hold over time. Longitudinal research does exist on this topic. The short-term benefits are clear. That's not news. There's often learning benefits, improved vocabulary, what they call cognitive benefits to early learning programs. But those benefits don't, in the existing research, tend to last over any amount of time. By grade three, one study from a meta-analysis, in fact, so an analysis of a group of studies from Duke University showed that by grade three, those academic improvements had disappeared. So those are just some of the comments, mostly frustration over the fact that the Ministry of Education said they released a study, which they didn't actually release. So,
but isn't that
comment in detail on something that isn't there to see?
Isn't that common politics, though? Well, they'll give you a little tease first, and then they'll release the full study later. Like, isn't this all going to come out in October?
It is all going to come out in October. Common in politics, not so common in social science research, when typically when you have a research to release, you actually do release the research.
Mm-hmm.
I have been working for 7 years in this field, and I think that it was politics overcoming the research. The problem there, of course, is that the message to Ontario parents is not going to be political. It's going to be the commentary on the research that they'll remember. And you had people literally falling over themselves as a result of this release. Charles Pascal said we should be doing cartwheels. That's a quote.
Mm-hmm.
Because the results were so good. But then I think that it's really, really important to actually see the full results. There's certain things that might have been withheld. There may be other aspects. We often see that where there are, this has also been shown in the research before, that where there's cognitive benefits, there can be behavioral negative effects. And those two things have been shown in prior research. Did that happen here as well? And they're only choosing to release one side of it. So, yes, it's politics at play. Perhaps that's standard, but it's not fair to come to parents with what is purportedly a research release and make it political.
Good point. All right, so let me ask you this. We were talking, you mentioned earlier that there's no disputing the proof that early on this does help. However, once you get to grade three, things seem to level out a bit and it doesn't matter as much. Am I correct in making that statement?
Yes, that's fairly correct.
I guess my point is in all of this, why is that important? And my reason is because, you know, what we're learning in junior kindergarten or senior kindergarten or whatever is obviously going to help us through our early developmental stages, not necessarily something that will improve our that in grade 4 or 5, much like something that we learn in grade 6 may not be as important to us once we're later in high school or even in post-secondary education. So why is that, you know, like as long as we're seeing results, positive results for the first 5 years, why does it matter that those tail off after that point?
Well, I think that it's a matter of accuracy to make sure that parents get a full picture on what the research shows. We are entering into an era where all-day kindergarten is becoming standard, and it seems to me that governments are justifying this massive expenditure on the fact that they're saying it is a major improvement for kids. What you said is accurate, but what needs to round out the picture is that very often there are behavioral problems that show up in the research as well. And to the best of my knowledge on some of the early learning research, sometimes those behavioral negative effects remain. So what I would like to see is a full picture on this mm-hmm. issue, which has become deeply political. I would like to see when we release studies that show positive effects, that we also get to hear about the studies showing negative effects. One of the things that these sorts of assessments of children rarely do is account for some of the attachment drawbacks that can occur when kids are surrounded for 8-10 hours a day by, if a four-year-old's surrounded by other four-year-olds, are they able to form strong attachments to other adults in their lives? That's a very difficult thing to measure, and it's part of a bigger picture on how we care for our kids. So basically all I'd like is for government propaganda to not push parents into choosing a form of care. I'd rather have it be based on a fuller research picture.
What, and I know what your point is here about the release of information and such, but I, you know, as a parent, and my, you know, unfortunately my kids were along and didn't, you know, take advantage, weren't allowed to take advantage of this sort of thing. So it's not really, it doesn't apply to us, but I can certainly see the advantages to that. What would be the alternative and what options do we have that might be better?
Options for full day kindergarten?
Mm-hmm. You know, because at the end of the day, you know, we've got an issue here in regard to early childhood care.
Yeah, and you know,
the question is, do we want the government involved with it? I guess the question is, do we want the government involved with that or not?
Well, and that is a legitimate question to ask. And if the government does get involved, why are they getting involved? I'd also like clarity on the whys, because a lot of the interviews I saw in the media yesterday spoke about parents finding it more convenient. And that may well be that may be to parents who are voters as well, a good reason to have government involved. But again, that's not what government is telling us. They're putting on a heavy layering of this is what is good
right.
for your child. This is the best thing for your child. And that is a heavy pressure to put on parents who may or may not choose to put their kids in full day. Some children, you know, a parent knows their child best. They may see that they're not thriving in all-day kindergarten. Many parents would have liked to have the half-day option, which we have learned is difficult to access. And again, the rhetoric and the propaganda, I would say, is so heavy. If it's so good for your kid, why would you deny them the extra half a day? But in reality, these are very, very long days for very small children. So why would doing it, if it's a convenience factor, if parents are working and this is why they need it, let's say that and let's not put it under the guise of this being the very best thing for early learning for small children.
So it's not so much whether it's good or it's bad, it's how it's being presented.
In this particular release, a lot of the frustration we felt at the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada was around the fact that this was obvious political spin on a research study that wasn't even released. I might also add that the research, they were told it's based on the EDI, the Early Development Instrument. That is in itself a subjective measure, and you know, there's some value there for sure, but it's not hard and fast. We're looking at people, not widgets, right? Children in kindergarten.
I guess, though, if you're looking at it from a parent standpoint, you know, the reality of today's world is both parents are working, so... You know, and, you know, I'm sure there are going to be some that will be able to or afford or decide to make the decision that one parent will stay home and what have you for the first 2, 3, maybe even 4 years. But at the end of the day, this problem isn't going away. So do we not have to try to find out or find some sort of solution that not only benefits the children, but also benefits the family?
Yeah, and the answer to that is to not put money into huge government institutions, but rather to give it to parents themselves so they can choose what to do with it. On the question of both parents working, we are responsible in part for creating a world where that is the case. And certainly all these things, these programs that we put in place cost money regardless of whether it is free, or, you know, quote-unquote free to the taxpayer
right.
at the moment. The cost of a free lunch was the study I did that showed
right.
The real costs of full-day learning in Ontario, and actually pegged that cost. The government came out with an estimate that matched mine after the fact. But these things, regardless of who pays for it and how we spread it out, they are very, very expensive. So it hits our pocketbook, whether we're paying for it up front or in our taxes after the fact.
So would it be better if the money just went to the parent and the parent, what, it was the parent's choice where they what they did with it?
Well, that's my opinion, and I think that when we poll parents, as we recently did, asking the question of what is best for children under six, 76% of Canadians said they think it's best for a child under six to be at home with a parent, and so we basically have public policy that's not reflecting what parents say they would prefer. Now, that is an idealistic question. I freely admit that. That may be different from what parents need to do or are forced to do.
Absolutely.
But is there no place for a bit of idealism, and can we not make it easier for parents to choose what they think is best?
But don't they have that option anyway? Because you don't have to take your kid to all-day kindergarten if you don't want. You don't have the
well, when you're offering, I think Economics 101 says that when you offer something at lower than the market value and it's supposedly free of charge or cheaper, that's something that then becomes a choice that people make. We do see that public policy can affect people's choices, and that may happen regardless. It creates a bit of a monopoly in effect. So those other choices that you used to have may disappear if you have the government putting a ton of money into one envelope of funding.
Do you think that some may question, well, you know, there's a shortage of daycare and the quality isn't that good. So in that case, this would be a better alternative, would it not be?
Well, the shortage of daycare varies very much from municipality to municipality. It's impossible to make a sweeping statement like that. Depends on where you live and what the unique circumstances of that community are. So I would challenge that assumption up front. And as for...
Wait a sec. So you think it's easy to find great quality daycare?
What's that?
You think it's really easy to find great quality daycare?
Well, it depends on where you live. When we have people saying that there's a shortage, oftentimes that's based on people living in the heart of downtown Toronto versus somebody living in a rural community somewhere
right.
Else in the province. So I'm just saying it's unique circumstances depending on where you live. There was actually at one time there was a vacancy rate showing actually for Toronto even on the daycare file. So I do challenge that. And also what people prefer to use is not necessarily institutional forms of care. That much is clear also, that people will say after their first choice being a parent at home with kids, the second one is relatives, typically for Canadians. So again, why does public policy not allow people to make the choices they say they'd like to?
I don't know. You know, in that propaganda, I certainly understand what you're saying. But on the other hand, when you say things like 70% of the people think that, you know, they should be at home with their kids, I mean, well, yeah, we'd all think that in a perfect world. It's just not reality.
Well, I don't know if that's the case. It's 70%, not 100%. So obviously some people think it's not best. And you spoke earlier about both parents working. Again, we arrived at that position through different choices we've made, and public programs, oftentimes are very expensive, particularly with regards to the care of small children. The prices that people pay in their private lives are actually the same prices people pay in the public sector, in the public square, because it's costly regardless of who does it. And so we are either paying it out of our own pockets or through our tax dollars. At the end of the day, we
mm-hmm.
are the taxpayer. There is only one taxpayer, and we are paying for these programs.
So at the end of the day, if a report comes out and says it's great, are you behind it?
I'm sorry?
At the end of the day, if the report in October comes out says that it's great, would you be behind it?
Well, this is a 2-year study. That's what we're getting in October. And so if it says it's great, I'm not surprised. That's what other studies have shown before it. It's not a reason to do cartwheels or jumping jacks. That's kind of what we knew all along. But what I want to see is what happens 10 years down the road and when these kids enter high school and how they fare in university. Longitudinal studies are important with regards to how we view these things. So 2 years down the road, I'm certainly going to read it with great interest. I'm sure there'll be lots of things to comment on and other aspects. I'd like to see how children fared on the early developmental instrument factors that pertain to physical health and emotional maturity, which are also important factors, not just cognitive. When parents are raising their kids, they're not just wanting them to be smart and be able to spell and read, although that's very important. You're also looking for kids who are emotionally mature, and so I would want to know how kids are faring on all of those factors. But the 2 years in, that report, that kind of a laudatory, amazing...
Right. You say it's too early to tell.
Warranted.
So you say it's too early to tell. Until we get to the 5 or 10 year mark, we really won't be able to judge this.
Well, generally speaking, with social science research, that is the case, which makes me all the more frustrated that the Ontario government needed to capitalize on the first day of school to put out that kind of a press release.
All right, there you have it. Well, so at the end of the day, will we not know? We probably won't know whether this is a success or not for another 5 to 10 years. Would that be accurate?
Well, in my opinion, it could take even longer, but yeah, that would be a bare minimum.
All right. Andrea Mrozek's been with us, Executive Director, Institute of Marriage and the Family. The Ontario Ministry of Education has released a short-term study showing the benefits of full-day kindergarten, and perhaps it's not a deep enough study. Thanks very much for the time, Andrea. Much appreciated.
Thank you.